according to a research that I read recently by Barner, together with Focus on the Family and Fuller Seminary in the United States, this is in the context of USA, right? 80% of seminary and Bible school graduates who enter the ministry will leave the ministry within the first 5 years. Not only that, according to the statistics of this survey, 60 to 80% of those who enter the ministry will still not be in it 10 years later. And only a fraction will stay in it as a lifetime career. You know, when I read this, I was thinking to myself and wondering, what is the statistic like for the situation in Singapore, in Myanmar, in Philippines, in China, or in Vietnam? Is it any much different from the United States? By the way, it brings to mind what Dr. Robert Clinton in his book, The Making of a Leader, said. Dr. Robert Clinton conducted an in-depth study for 1,500 Christian pastors, vocational workers, leaders, and disciples who are in the ministry. Out of the results of that study, on these 1,500 case studies, he observed this result. Only one in three Christian pastors, leaders, and workers will finish well. Only one in three, in other words, one third, will finish well. In other words, my dear friends, it doesn't matter where we are from, we have to contend with this reality. Many pastors or Christian workers like myself and many of you who would eventually enter into ministry, many of us may start well, but it does not necessarily mean that we will finish well. In fact, statistics tells us that the majority probably will not finish well. Well, for different reasons, but I believe one of the key reasons is because even our Lord Jesus tells us that many will fall away because of the pressure of the testing of our faith and the pains of the trials of life. That is why this morning I would like to share with us on this subject, growing through trials, not just about not having mental breakdowns, but how does God want us to grow through trials, not just to go through trials, you know, but actually to grow through them. All of us go through trials at one time or another, of one kind or another. But it is God's will for us to grow through trials. But the question is, how do we grow through trials? Now, James wrote his letter to Jewish Christians scattered all over the place because they were going through trials. They were experiencing severe trials. How about you, my dear friends, this morning? Are you also growing through trials, not just going through them? We are aware recently we have received reports that our Afghanistan brothers and sisters, they are surely going through severe trials in difficult times like this. How about you? You know? Now, the important question is not whether are we going through trials. The more important question, according to James, is do we know God's purpose when we go through them? Because James, when he started writing this letter, he stated very clearly God's purpose for us when we go through trials. He wrote in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." You see, it's not whether will we go through trials or not. We all will go through trials at one time or another, of one kind or another. That's why James wrote, "Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." In other words, we can put on the attitude of joy and count it all joy when we are going through difficult times, only when we know God's purpose of why we are going through trials. Because God wants us to grow through them, not just go through them. God wants us to grow, to become perfect, meaning spiritual men and women of God, not lacking in anything. But then the question is, how do we grow through trials? Maybe let's pause here for a moment and then let's ask the Holy Spirit to be the one to teach us, shall we? Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you this morning for this opportunity that we can gather in the name of Jesus. Recognizing that it doesn't matter who we are and where we come from, we want to acknowledge that we all go through trials at one time or another. But thank you for reminding us your will is for us to grow through them, to be spiritual men and women of God. Perfect, not lacking in anything. This morning, we humbly pray that by the work of your Holy Spirit, you use this message to show us what is lacking in us. Convict us, dear Lord, and to lead us to know who you are, to hear what your Spirit is saying to us, especially for those of us who are not just going through trials, but groaning through it. Lord, by your grace, help us to grow. Because that's your purpose for us this morning. Thank you. We commit the rest of the time to you. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you, Brother Onkam, for reading James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8 for us. Okay. The first thing that the Word of God reminds us is that we need wisdom to grow in trials. We need wisdom. That's why James wrote, if any of you lack what? Wisdom. Because we lack wisdom and we need wisdom to grow in trials. The first thing, according to James, and the most important thing that we need to grow through trials is what he calls wisdom. You know, my dear friends, actually, though not one of us like to go through trials, but actually trials are just wonderful things for our lives, you know, at least for two purposes. Let me remind all of us. Trials does wonderful things to you and me. Firstly, it reveals to you and me who we are. Remember Simon Peter? When Jesus preempted the disciples, you know, this very night, all of you will fall away when you are being tested of your faith. What did Simon Peter say? Hey, no, no, no. Lord Jesus. Even if Pastor Annie will fall away, not me, okay? I will surely not fall away. Remember? Jesus actually prophesied to Peter that, really, by the time the cock crows three times, you will deny me three rounds. Remember? You see, trials accomplish the first purpose of revealing to us who we are. You see, Peter's denial of Jesus, his failure in that trial, actually revealed to him who he didn't know he was, you know. But more than that, trials not only reveal to you and me who we are, it reveals to us what is lacking in our lives. Same for the case of Simon Peter. Same for my case. You know, that's why whenever I think about my days in BTS, the wonderful days that I've experienced as a part-time student for 7 years, an incident always comes to my mind. You know, a failure. You know, one morning, what happens was, one morning, some of you might have heard this story before. One morning, I started to panic because I suddenly realized that I forgot to do my Hebrews assignment. And then the next thing I realized was that because there were so many other assignments, I will certainly not have time to complete the assignment to hand it that morning. And I will not have time to do other assignments. And you know what came to my mind immediately after that, when I realized I didn't do my Hebrew assignment? Without second thoughts, I took my Hebrew textbook, I turned to the end of the textbook, and then I just copied the answer, put it into my assignment and submit it, submitted it to my Hebrew professor, who was Dr. Danny Shah during that time, without second thoughts. And not only I fulfilled the assignment, I eventually graduated from BTS and totally forgot about the incident until some years later. I was reading a book in the MRT, and I kid you not, I cannot remember what I read, but that moment while I was riding the MRT back home, the Holy Spirit came on me and brought me back to that incident that morning a few years ago and convicted me. I still remember the incident so clearly. The Spirit of God convicted me and said this to me: "Do you remember what you did that day, son?" I said, "Yes, Lord. I've totally forgotten about it." "You know what you did?" I said, "Yes, Lord." You know what? That was the first time under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I confessed to the Lord who I was, you know, when I failed the test. And I confessed to the Lord. I remember now, I was a cheater. I cheated during the assignment. But you know, the wonderful thing was that the Holy Spirit convicted me that I cheated and I was a cheater when I failed that test under the pressure, right? Not to condemn me, you know, but to convict me what I lacked. I lacked integrity. I lacked repentance. And so in that conviction, the Lord not only revealed to me who I was, He revealed to me what I lacked. And then He revealed to me clearly exactly what I need to do. And so I did, by the grace of God. I went back to the dean of the BTS, then Dr. Lydon Lim, after I graduated, and then confessed to him what actually happened. You see, the point is this, my dear friend. The trials of life, the testing of our faith, does wonderful things for you and me. At least it reveals to us who we are and what we lack. According to James, the first thing that we lack and the most important thing that we need to grow through trials is wisdom. My dear friends, are you going through trials this season of your life? I am. I'm going through trials this season of my life. But you know that God is using trials of our life to show us what we lack, so that we can ask Him for what we lack to grow in maturity. That's why James wrote, "If any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask God." But then what is wisdom? We need wisdom to grow through trials. What is wisdom? In the context of trials, let me just say that wisdom, I believe, is the gift of God to help a person respond to trials such that God will train him or her to teach others. That was what happened to Simon Peter, remember? Now, even though he failed the testing, you know, remember what Jesus said, "Simon Peter, I pray for you that when you return, even though you fail, when you return, when you repent, you will strengthen others." That's the reason why God allows us to go through trials, so that we will grow through them. God will train us and develop us so that eventually we will teach others who are going through the same kind of trial. You see, all our testing, our failures, even our trials, our pains, are never wasted in our lives, my dear friends. First thing, remember, we need wisdom to grow through trials. Secondly, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. We need to know this God whom we ask. We need to know the God of wisdom for trials. This wisdom, right, that James was writing about, is not any kind of wisdom. It's a specific and special kind. It's the wisdom that comes from God. That's why he said, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Not ask Google. Not even ask your pastor or your seminary lecturer. Nothing wrong with that. God can use them to impart to us wisdom. But first and foremost, you must learn to ask God for this kind of wisdom that comes from God. For a very simple reason, because human wisdom, any kind of wisdom, will not suffice to help us to grow through wisdom. I mean, to grow to drought, sorry. Recently, I watched a wonderful YouTube live documentary, a very short one, of a philosopher who recorded this short live documentary of his life when he was nearing his death at 97 years old. If I did not remember wrongly, his name is Mr. Herbert Engelrath. Mr. Herbert Engelrath was a philosopher by training. He taught philosophy for 40 years in the University of California. He wrote books. He not only taught philosophy, he wrote books to answer the big questions of life. For example, he wrote a book titled Death. In that book, he said this: there's nothing to fear about death, because when you die, you just isn't. You no longer exist. So no need to fear death. But do you know that in that documentary, he said that when he was nearing death, right, he said that I fear death. I do not know what's going to happen. You know, in the short documentary, right, he said something of profound human wisdom. He said that he was only nearing the end of his life, right? There was one day he was sitting in front of these trees, and then the wind was blowing against the trees, and then the trees seemed to be dancing before him. That moment, he experienced transcendence. He regretted that he has not learned to enjoy nature like the way it is until the very final years of his life. You know, when I heard that, right, I was so blessed with that human wisdom. I want to take this opportunity to remind all of us, my dear friends, life is not just about work, you know. Seminary students, life is not just about completing your assignment. Unfortunately, we read that many seminary students compromise our devotion with God. You know, the irony is that we read so many things related to theology. We do so many assignments related to spiritual stuff at the expense of our relationship. Live a balanced life. There's a time for everything. To do your assignments, to submit your lectures. There's a time to worship God, to read the Word of God for what it is, to know who God is, to exercise, to sleep well, eat well. Please remember that. But human wisdom will not suffice to help us grow through trials. Dr. Engelrath said this, you know, very unfortunately in the live documentary. He said, what's the point of living 97 years of my life? Do you know what was his conclusion? There's no point. Very sad, isn't it? For a human philosopher. You see, but it reminds us, human wisdom will not suffice to help us grow to trials. We need the wisdom that comes from God. We need, if any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. But we need to know who this God is even before we turn to him to ask him for wisdom. That's why James immediately said this: let any one of you who lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who will give generously. Who is this God that James invites us to turn to ask him for wisdom? He's the God who will give. In the Greek, that verb gives is in the Greek present tense. And we know it means that it's better translated. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who will continuously give, who keeps giving, who will never stop giving. In other words, my dear friends, whenever we lack wisdom or anything that we need, we can come to God to ask. We can keep asking God for wisdom and anything we need to grow through trials, because he is the God who keeps giving. Amen? He's not only the God who keeps giving. James was not done. He says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who keeps giving generously. The word generously communicates to us the idea that whatever we need, wisdom and anything else, when we come to ask God for it, God has more than enough, over abundance in supply, in excess of more than what we need. Whenever we come to Him to ask Him of it, He keep giving us generously. In other words, my dear friends, we not only ask God for wisdom and whatever we need at the start of the day, we keep asking Him throughout the day whenever we are tested. And whenever we ask Him, our Heavenly Father will not say to us, "Hey, Pastor David, sorry, I ran out of wisdom. Can you give me 5 minutes? Come back later. I need to have a council meeting with my son and the Holy Spirit first. Come back later. I ran out of grace, strength that you need right now. Come back later." No, He's the God who keeps giving, because He's the God who has an overabundant supply generously to give to us whenever we ask of Him. Amen. James was not done yet. He says, if any of you who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. That's so wonderful. In another translation, without reproach. In other words, He reminds us that whenever we come to God and ask Him for wisdom and whatever we need, right, He not only keeps giving us, and He keeps giving us much more than we need, right? He will never say to you and me, "Brother Ong Kam, why are you like that? Or Hon, why are you like that? Shame on you. You don't deserve whatever you ask of me." Never. Our Heavenly Father never responds to us when we come to Him to ask Him for wisdom or anything else we need to grow through trust. He's the one who gives generously without finding fault. He will never say to you and I, "How come you never do this? Yeah, don't give you wisdom. How come you did this? You don't deserve wisdom, you know." Because He's the God who keeps giving generously to anyone, to all, without finding fault. Isn't that wonderful? James was still not done, you know. James said that if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who keeps giving generously without finding fault, to all who ask. And it shall be given to him. He will be given. It's a promise. What's the point of coming to God and asking for wisdom or the things that we need and keep coming to Him knowing that He has more than enough to give to us, you know, and He doesn't find fault with us, but at the end of the day He still say no and don't give? What's the point? You see, to grow through trust, we need to know the God who is generous, gracious, and guaranteed to give us what we need. Guaranteed to give us what we need to grow through trust. My dear friends, let us come back to know who this God is, the God of wisdom, who gives generously, graciously, and guaranteed to give us what we need. Finally, let us grow with wisdom through trials by faith, because James ended in verse 8 by saying, "But let him who ask in faith and not doubt." My dear friends, let us trust God and do not doubt, especially when we are going through trials. Do you know that when you're going through trials, that's when we become vulnerable to doubt? Do not doubt. Let him who ask us in faith, but do not doubt. But because he who doubt is like a wave tossed by the wind to and fro in the sea, he should not expect to receive anything from God. Because when we doubt, we will become double-minded. we no longer can be decisive to decide to trust God. We become indecisive, double-minded. We become unstable in all our ways, my dear friends. Believe but do not doubt. You know, the world that we are living in today, my dear friends, is just like what James described, no? The world that we are living in, the turbulent world. We can easily be like a wave tossed to and fro by the wind of this changing, ever-changing world, ever-changing circumstances of this world, tossed to and fro. Anything can change. There's no longer any certainty. The only thing that's certain is uncertainty. But we need not live like that. When we are anchored by faith to trust in who God is, when we grow through trials. So now, my dear friends, I want to end this morning's devotion by encouraging you and me. Believe and do not doubt. Are you going through trials? God is using the trials to reveal to you and me who you are. Not to condemn you and me, but to convict us what we need. Do you believe that? Believe and do not doubt. Do you know that when you go through trials, the Lord is going through the trials with you? Do you believe that? Believe and do not doubt, because Jesus, our Lord Jesus, went through the greatest trial of his life so that he can go through all the trials in our lives with us. Do you believe that? Believe that and do not doubt. I want to end this morning's devotion with Paul's words so that we can grow with wisdom through trials by faith. Allow me to end this morning's devotion with the Apostle Paul's words. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39. Let me just read, okay? And then we'll end. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, this passage, as we all know, was spoken in the context of the sufferings of the trials of a Christian. You know that God is mightily at work, even when we are suffering. You know that God has a purpose when we go through trials. What is God's purpose? Well, Paul wrote, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's God's purpose. In order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. When we go through trials, God is mightily at work in our lives for the purpose that we will grow through these trials, to grow to become more and more like his son. That's the purpose. Amen. But we need to know this God of wisdom. He who is generous, gracious, and guaranteed to give us everything that we need to grow through trials. Why? Paul continued to write, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You see, our Heavenly Father is the generous, gracious God who has guaranteed to give us all things that we need, because he has really given us his Son. He will not withhold anything from us that we need to grow through trials. Amen. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ, Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No kind of trials can separate us from the love of God and what God wants to do in and through the trials of our lives. And Paul ended by saying, as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. My dear friend, we are never victims of the hardships and the difficult times and the trials that we go through. Never victims. We are not even victors. Paul says we are more than conquerors. Not because of us. Because of what Christ has done for us. When we grow through trials in him, we are more than victors. So this morning, I would like to invite us. The Holy Spirit invites us as he convicts us. Are you going through trials? Well, as the Holy Spirit convicts you, I invite you to acknowledge what you lack. Cry out to God and confess to him, Lord, I lack wisdom. I lack healing. I lack patience when I'm going through trials. Recently, in a meeting of pastors, one dear pastor friend of mine said this. You know, Pastor Horn, we know you not to be a proud person. Actually, I'm not very proud one. But when this pastor friend of mine said that, I started to feel very good about myself. Because he said, hey, Pastor Horn, we know you not to be a very proud person. But you know, some days later, right, I was sitting with my wife. And then my wife said this. You know, in my prayer time, my wife said this to me. I felt impressed upon my heart in my prayer time for you. The Lord wants me to tell you, you lack humility in your life. And after that conversation, the Lord convicted me to help me realize why I'm going through trials this season in my life. Because what my wife says is true. I lack humility. So what do you lack? As the Holy Spirit convicts you, confess your lack to the Lord. Lord, I lack wisdom. I lack humility. I lack patience. I lack wisdom. And then ask him for whatever you need. Ask and do not doubt, because he's the God who keeps giving you what you and I need to grow through trials, generously, graciously, without finding fault, and guaranteed to give. Shall we do that this morning as we respond to the Lord's word? Let's close in prayer together. I do not know how, do I close in prayer or how do you usually end? Do I close in prayer? Okay, let's just take a few moments to close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for just reminding us who you are. You are our good Father. Gracious, generous, guaranteed to give us, because you have already given us your Son. He's all we need. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us to go through whatever trials that we may be going through. You're always with us. Forgive us for doubting. Forgive us for forgetting. But as the Holy Spirit convict you and me, my dear friends, will you take a few moments to just confess to the Lord, Lord, I lack this in my life. Thank you for showing me who I am. What I am. Will you just confess it to God? And then as the Spirit leads you, take a few moments, ask him for whatever you need so that you grow through trials. Lord, help us not just to go through trials, but to grow, to become more and more like us. Give us all the grace and the wisdom that we need. Thank you so much this morning for the time that we can have. I ask and pray all this in Jesus' most name.